Patriots are 6+ point favorites on the road. That's rare for teams to be almost a touchdown favorite. They were against Tennessee. They've now, the last four times the Pats have been 6+ point favorites on the road, they've lost 3 of 4. 1 win, 3 losses. In the prior 39 times, they lost twice.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The New Orleans Saints blew out the Bengals 51-14 on Sunday. Drew Brees, 3 touchdowns, just 3 incompletions all day long. New Orleans now 8-1 on the season and 5-0 on the road. RJ, what's the Vegas perspective now on the Saints?
I got to tell you something. I would have had so much more fun on this game if my picks hadn't had a tough day yesterday. So on my Twitter, I tweeted out our 5 Super Contest gold picks, 65% entering Sunday. And I taunted fate, Jonas, the gambling gods. I said, haven't had a losing week yet. Oh, yeah, I know, is what I said in the tweet, that it feels like I'm jinxing myself. Well, I don't believe in no darn jinxes. Well, 1-3-1, Jonas.
I should tweet that I've never had a winning week, so that way maybe it'll turn my luck around.
But that said, one of the losers I avoided came from Steve Fezzik. Fezzik was like, the Bengals, the spot, the wind's blowing. And I'm like, dude, how much is all this situational edge truly worth? And how many points are the Bengals overrated? Because something we've been preaching again and again is the Bengals won a bunch of coin flip games. What does that mean? It means it could have went either way, but it went W Bengals, and then the record, obviously, wins and losses improves, and we know the public's obsessed with that. So Steve Fezzik, in hindsight, how wrong were you about the Bengals?
Very wrong, and feeling like
I don't think you're saying enough. I don't think that's enough. You got to be more than very.
Well, I left your money on your chair, RJ, but I told you. So, 3rd straight game, the Bengals have given up 500 or more yards. That is historically bad.
First team in the Super Bowl era, the Bengals, to give up 500-plus yards in 3 straight games.
Well, so that's why they fired their defensive coordinator. I couldn't figure it out. Yeah, they fired him today.
But Fez, your assumption was Saints aren't great on that. And that's what we want to do. We want to embrace when we're right. And let's be candid, we do that with vigor. Hey, we're not afraid, but we also want to not only take responsibility when we're wrong, in this case, you being wrong, Steve Fezzik, RJ Bell wasn't, but we also want to learn from it. So what did you miss on the Bengals?
Well, I think I was right on the Bengals being a mediocre team. What I missed was the Saints being such a dominant team, RJ.
So as of last week, and every Tuesday we'll do it tomorrow, there is Vegas says it's the pros versus the world. And you were mocking, let's be honest, Colin Cowherd and the Fox family and a personal friend. Right? But that doesn't stop us. No sacred cows. Right? He had the Saints number one last week. ESPN in their media power ranking, Saints number one. Fezzik laughed. Where did you have the Saints?
I had them number 4.
Woo-hoo! Now, who was above the Saints?
Rams, Kansas City, and New England.
Okay. Now, who's number one today?
The New Orleans Saints, RJ.
There he is. All right.
So a skeptical listener out there could say, wait a minute, Colin and ESPN were just 1 week ahead of you, Fez. You finally caught up.
I'm slow to the party, but I'm on board now.
Now, honestly, though, how much of the difference in that game, the Saints and the Bengals, and obviously it was a big difference, how much do you give the Saints an advantage of, hey, how well they played? And how much was it the Bengals' ineptness? Because to me, it felt like at least half Bengals' ineptness.
Yeah, I think it was truly 50-50. You know, what was shocking to me, RJ, not that the Saints and Drew Brees put up a 50, but the fact that the Saints held the Bengals to under 300 yards, that Saints D that we've been worried about came up big.
RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, though in Los Angeles with Jonas Knox. Jonas, with your fans' perspective on the Saints-Bengals, what was your main takeaway?
My main takeaway is that we assume that this is the Saints of old, a team that can't travel on the road, a team that gets into chilly temperatures, colder temperatures, like it was in the low 40s in Cincinnati. And we assume, because we're so used to that version of the Saints, this is a completely different football team. They do have a run game. Their defense is coming around. I know Cincinnati's bad, but now, like I mentioned, New Orleans is 5-0 on the road. They can travel anywhere, and they've got the offense to get it done wherever they go, temperatures or not.
Maybe Cincy's bad, but right now, if playoffs started today, they'd be a playoff team.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The New England Patriots, a rough outing on Sunday. They were blown out by the Tennessee Titans, a 24-point loss for New England. A lot of talk about Tom Brady. Is he over the hill? A lot of overreactions. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the status of the Patriots following Sunday's loss in Nashville?
Fez, when we look, and let's create a little context. Once you get past the halfway mark of a season, you don't often upgrade or downgrade a team more than a point a game. Now, what does that mean, a point a game? Like, one of the things the Fez says is he says, oh, this team is 3 points better than an average team. So what it means is on a neutral field against an average team, they'd be favored by three. Now, if they play a great game and they get upgraded, now it's, oh, they'd be 4 points better than an average team. So think about it. You're not going to see more than a one-point adjustment. And most of the time, it's a half point or no adjustment a given week in the second half of the season. Now, why does the point of the season matter? It's because we know so much more about these teams. Think about Mahomes. Think about Kansas City. After the first game against the Chargers, great game for Kansas City and Mahomes. You could say, second start, who knows, right? Chargers, bad coach. But then 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9 games. Now it's like Mahomes. How much are you – whatever doubts you had about Mahomes after week one, you'd be insane to have the same amount of doubt. You might still have doubt. RG3 had an amazing rookie year. It was better than Andrew Luck statistically. And RG3 hasn't started for multiple years. So you can still doubt Mahomes long term. But whatever amount of doubt you had after week one – has to be much greater than now. That's why the adjustments weekly from Vegas are much more muted, much less drastic. So, Fez, this feels like historically drastic. I think the stat I heard on with Clay Travis was this was the worst loss of Brady's career after September, meaning once September passed, he had never lost a game by this many points. I think that was a stat that sounds generally correct to me. So, boy, Fez, this feels like a big adjustment potentially. How much did you downgrade the Pats?
I downgraded them half a point, RJ. Ooh. New England is now my fourth best team in the NFL.
But really, they were right there. They were ahead of the Saints last week. So half point, on one hand, hey, fourth is a big drop. But on the other hand, literally, if they were playing whoever they're a bye this week, but if they were playing an average NFL team last week, what would the line have been? On a neutral.
-6.
And now?
-5.5.
All right. So a pretty modest downgrade. Now, Jonas, as a fan, does that seem like too little to you?
No, it doesn't seem like too little. I think this is concerning. Just if you watch Brady, there are points to where he does seem older. Mike Vrabel kind of trolled.
But how much of that is a self-fulfilling prophecy? Meaning that you see, because remember the famous Kansas City Monday night game, right?
Yes.
But if Brady were 28, looking the same way, would we find another reason? Or is it just now that he's old? It's like if you find out someone got, let's say, Lauren, producer Lauren. I know nothing about his social life. But let's say you found out producer Lauren had 14 beers last night. All right?
Oh, man.
Now he shows up to the Fox studios.
Taking the under, huh?
Yeah, and let's say he makes a few extra mistakes.
Yes.
Are we going to say it's because of the booze? Yeah, but are we sure it's because of the booze? No, it's just an obvious answer. Are we sure? I mean, is this really that much worse than other runs a bad, or let's say relatively bad runs Brady's had?
I looked at some recent years just to find a three-game stretch. Right now he's got one touchdown in three games, so it's not been
good
for Brady.
Is that the metric, though, we're using, just one the touchdowns?
I was trying to find consistent bad stretches for Brady over the past several years, and the only two that come close to this are he struggled a little bit a year ago, but that was during three straight road games later in the season. Before that, if you go back to 2013, there was a patch of three games from weeks 5 through 7 in which he had one touchdown and three interceptions. I'm wondering if you're seeing them throw to Brady out of the backfield. Why is Tom Brady catching passes? Is there an issue with the offense?
But it's back to the idea of Belichick. I mean, he did it in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And the offense wasn't a problem.
Yeah, but I don't understand why they continue to go back to a play like that. And then Mike Vrabel trolls them by saying, we just wanted to see if ours worked better.
Which I want to talk about that in a minute. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Fez, thoughts?
Yeah, one thing I think about New England we got to discuss, their three wins before this game, RJ. They beat Chicago, Green Bay, and Buffalo, three teams that all look darn good this past Sunday.
Yeah, and Buffalo, obviously a surprise. Chicago, I thought you were going to find a way to go back and say your Chicago pick over the Pats was right again. They say, hey, all those turnovers and special teams touchdowns, you know, obscured how smart your pick was. That's where I thought you were going.
Another bet that I lost to you.
Now, let's say this, couple things. This could be a canary in the coal mine. Patriots as 6-plus point favorites on the road. That's rare for teams to be almost a touchdown favorite. They were against Tennessee. They've now, the last four times the Pats have been 6-plus point favorites on the road, they've lost 3 of 4. 1 win, 3 losses. In the prior 39 times, they lost twice as a road favorite of 6-plus points. So, up until four games ago, which started with the Miami Monday night game last year,
yep.
You may remember.
The Jay Cutler show.
Yeah. Oh, that scares me just hearing that. Up until that point, 37-2 as a big road favorite.
Wow.
Straight up. And now 1-3. On the other hand, and this is somewhat connected, three road games this year that they lost by 11 to the Jags, 16 the Pats lost to the Lions, who don't look so good, right? And 24 against the Titans. So, yes, we can look at the long history and say that the Pats are unparalleled and trust the Pats. But to quote Mark Jackson, Father Time is undefeated. At one point, we are going to say Brady's gotten old. I'm just not sure if it's right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Alabama shuts out Mississippi State on Saturday, 24-0. The line closing at 22. What is the Vegas perspective on the now 10-0 Crimson Tide?
Well, listen, he has all the college knowledge, Brad Powers. Brad, two shutouts in a row for Bama. The question was, not that long ago, great offense, questionable defense. Obviously, you think more of the Bama D than you did before these two recent shutouts. How much more?
I would say Bama defense has gone from, I would say, below average standards of a typical Nick Saban Alabama defense.
Yeah, let's be clear. Below average of the, you know, greatest team perhaps in the history of college football. Go ahead.
Yeah, below average for historically great defenses. So instead of being the best defense in the country, more like the 10th best defense in the country. Now, after back-to-back shutouts, Alabama's almost right on par with a typical Alabama defense that we've seen the last 10 years under Nick Saban to coincide with an historically great Alabama offense.
So if you had to rank one to whatever Alabama's offense in the country.
Oh, wow. Two behind Oklahoma.
And Alabama's defense.
Alabama's defense, I would have 3 behind Clemson and Michigan.
So the second best offense, the third best defense. Oklahoma, the best offense. Where's their defense?
Oklahoma's defense is probably average. About around 130 teams in the country, I'd have Oklahoma's defense 40, 45th.
Wow. Now, a lot of people, when I say average, look at all the points they give up. Remember, a lot of that is pace, right? Is Oklahoma scoring really fast?
Yeah.
Other teams getting a lot of possessions. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas in L.A. with Jonas Knox. Let me ask you this. Last question on Bama. We've been talking about it since the show started. A lot of sharps in Vegas betting Bama in the first half, betting against them in the second half. Entering last week, and we've been saying this, Jonas, for a long time, entering last week, what was the record in the first half, second half, and how did it do this week?
16-2 entering last week as far as Alabama in the first half. You want to play and bet on Alabama in the first half and against the Crimson Tide in the second half, 16-2.
All right, well, that, hold on, 17- hold on, hold on. That's combined.
Yeah. Yep.
So the first half was, correct me if I'm wrong, 9-0?
9-0.
And then let me do the math, 7-2.
Yeah.
See, you wonder how I got into this Ivy League schools, Jonas. 7-2 in the second half. So think about that, guys. Undefeated. We always say it's hard to bet winning teams, the best teams, and win. But in the first half, 9-0 against the spread. Just the first half. How'd it go this week?
First half remains perfect, RJ. 10-0 against the spread. If you bet on Alabama every game in the first half this season, you'd be 10-0. But the Crimson Tide didn't cover the second half line.
Okay, but let's just be clear now. You want to bet against the Tide in the second half.
You do want to bet against the Tide in the second half.
And it was 3-0 in the second half, right? So what was the second half line?
I got to, you know what? You're right, RJ.
I can't believe it was below three, right?
Yes. Right? Yeah, 18-2. Thank you.
Yeah. So think about that, guys. And again, it gets confusing. And let's just say it one more time. First half. Why does this matter? Well, one, you can win money.
Yes.
Right? But the second reason is Bama might be better than we think because they're obviously not trying super hard in the second half. Right? They to exceed expectations every time in the first half and to fall short of expectations every time but two in the second half means there's a big difference between the first half effort and the second half effort.
Well, you want to know how a team's good? Their starting quarterback has played in the fourth quarter once this season because they just didn't need him.
Yes, yes.
That's crazy.
Last question quickly. Stoops left Oklahoma. The sense was the defense improved initially. Doesn't look like it now, though they actually gave up less points this year against Okie State than last year. 20 seconds, Brad. What are you thinking of the Oklahoma's defense now relative to with Mike Stoops as DC?
So after two straight games of what we consider to be improvement from Oklahoma's defense after they released Mike Stoops, we've had two really bad data points the last 2 weeks with Oklahoma's defense, about the same as what we thought the first six games of the season. Oklahoma, out of the top six, seven contenders for the national title, by far the worst defense.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.